welcome to La Liga Weekly, where each week we review Spain's top division, that silly old predictable division with two teams who are far too strong for the rest, and where the bottom clubs roll over and lose, I don't know, 8-0? Yes, Barcelona are 8th in the table and the heat is on. Ernesto Valverde, who might be regretting not starting with Messi, mixing up his best midfield and telling Junior Firpo to go out in a pair of clown shoes. Sevilla have slipped after Julen Lopetegui finally got a good performance out of Real Madrid. Even Gareth Bale broke into a sprint, although that was when someone gave him a club pennant to hold. So Granada, who were due to finish bottom according to our expert panel, were top before Athletic took on Alaves. Before that game, someone in their ultimate wisdom decided to hand Gaizka Toquero a wooden sword. Remember, this is a man who became famous for charging around football pitches like a berserker. Arming him is not a good idea. Anyway, the boys from Bilbao are top. No one is where they're supposed to be, including Terry Gibson, who spent his Sunday afternoon being very, very fair to Arsenal. Now, Terry, did I or did I not see a footballer and grown man grab another footballer's leg and pull it towards his head?
Yes, you did. That was bizarre. Socrates and Wesley, there was a coming together, and actually Wesley was standing on his thigh. So if Socrates had rolled around in agony holding his thigh, there might have been an issue for VAR to look at. I guess there is, because Socrates was clinging on to the thigh of Wesley and tried to sort of headbutt Wesley's hand with his arm wrapped around him and headbutts his own hand, and then crashes, lays down on the floor holding his head. VAR, I mean, we talk about retrospective action. That was, I was as polite as I could possibly be in a live commentary and said he's tried to con the referee, but it was downright cheating, to be honest. Absolutely ludicrous. Comical, but ridiculous in the extreme.
Do you prefer the Premier League sort of hands-off VAR, where all they're doing is basically disallowing offside goals and anything that looks like a handball? Or do you prefer the La Liga VAR, where at the same time that you were doing that game, because I had various screens going, Iñaki Williams was winning a penalty after the ref went and looked at the screen, which obviously goes into more detail, but does take a long time. So the Premier League VAR is quick, but it doesn't do much. Whereas La Liga VAR, I think, is much more thorough, but it disrupts the game.
And the Champions League VAR as well, isn't it? I think that uses that system as well, doesn't it? So it's getting really confusing with the different, particularly for people like us that watch different leagues, seeing how it's used differently, watching the Champions League and the different handball rules in the Champions League. I prefer the one where the referee has the chance to, because no one's got an issue with it. If the referee doesn't give the penalty or he gives the penalty, then he's advised to go and look, changes his mind. He's had one in real life time to see it. He can see different angles and he can make the decision. He can hold his hand up himself if he thinks he's made the wrong call. What we get in the Premier League is, I understand it, this clear and obvious error judgment has to be made. But then the reality is they are reluctant to overturn a referee's decision when it comes to penalties. And I don't think the referees in the Premier League would have a problem admitting they've made a mistake if they feel they've given the wrong decision. I think if they have the chance to look at the monitor, that's what I feel. I feel that, you know, they would prefer that.
Right, let's crack on with La Liga, shall we? We'll start. What was the top?
About Spurs.
Yeah, the only team that can go 2-0 up and lose 2-1. Yeah,
exactly. Anyway. Typical.
Right, so Granada versus Barcelona. Well, instead of upsetting Spurs fans and Arsenal fans, we'll upset Barcelona fans. I've got a long, long list, Terry, to read you about Valverde. But shall we do the game first? Make reference to the Champions League if you want as well, which was a very uninspiring performance. They were beaten 2-0 by Granada. Valverde shuffled his pack again. And they got off to the worst possible start. Junior Firpo, starting his first game for Barca, couldn't have started any worse. Wasn't all his fault, obviously. But they were beaten fair and square, which is probably the worst thing, isn't it, by Granada?
They were beaten fair and square, and by a team that, in fairness, didn't need their goalkeeper, Rui Silva, to have a blinder. he barely had a save to make. Yeah. So the defence was nice and solid for Granada. I've done some analysis work for La Liga TV this week. The lack of touches in the penalty area is alarming for Barcelona. The positional play, Griezmann, Suarez, when Messi comes on, how they play. It doesn't bear any resemblance to a Barcelona-style performance, if I'm being perfectly honest. Now, I know there are injury issues. I felt he hung Julian Firpo out to dry by replacing him at half-time. And I thought the change was far too drastic. You then put Sergio Roberto right-back, Semedo goes to left-back, the balance wasn't right with a right-footed left-back. I understand Messi coming on, of course, for Carlos Perez and to Fati as well. He was trying to get his team back into the game, but it was only 1-0 at that stage. Maybe it might have been wiser just to go with Messi, bringing Messi on and keeping the team in, you know, a reasonable shape. Now, I'm surprised with Valverde, with the amount of changes he has made at this stage of the season, bearing in mind he's been forced into changes in the front three. So normally as a coach, you would, if you've got severe injury problems with a particular department of the team, which Barcelona have had, no Dembele, no Suarez, no Messi. Now, the drift, you know, Suarez is back, Messi's coming back. But therefore, you then would, I would imagine, the wiser choice would be to try and keep the rest of the team as solid and consistent as you possibly can. But that hasn't been the case, particularly in midfield. The amount of selections we've seen in midfield, whether, you know, the first game of the season, Busquets didn't play, Carlos Alenia played, we haven't seen him since. It was Rakitic's first game yesterday. They looked pretty good in the game where I think De Jong played, Busquets and Arthur. I think that, as unfair as it is on Rakitic, that's probably the way to go at the moment for Barcelona, and try and keep some sort of consistency with two parts of your team. Umtiti is not available, so it has to be Longley and Piqué. Junior Firpo has to come in for Jordi Alba. Semedo should be playing right back, not Sergio Roberto. But Valverde's decided to chop and change, particularly in the midfield. Busquets needs a rest. No, he doesn't. He's 31. He's not 41. So I'm not seeing why Valverde is making as many changes as he is. I've been a big supporter of Valverde because of two league titles. The black mark has obviously been the two results against Roma and Liverpool, and possibly the Copa del Rey final. But I think in terms of the league form this year, it's been the worst start to a season for 25 years for Barcelona. They've got problems clearly away from home. They've joint worst defensive record in La Liga with Betis and Espanyol. And to be fair to Betis, they conceded 5 of those 9 against Barcelona. So, you know, they look good at home, but they look, as you say, very uninspiring when they're on their away games.
Right. So after that Granada game, Terry, I stuck on Twitter. How many more bad nights has Valverde got to survive? I've got a lot of answers. Now, the answers are almost all negative. Now, that is, it's a little bit of a misleading one, because generally people don't bother getting in touch if they don't want to see change, do they? So it's usually, if you ask a question, it's usually people who are unhappy who get in touch. Taj, what a win for Granada. So he wants to finish. Focus on the positive. Yeah, good point, right? Here goes the rest. Deep breath. Che Gipta, it's almost like Valverde refuses to acknowledge De Jong, Busquets, Arthur midfield. I think that's your point as well. Pete says, why isn't he giving Arthur the time he deserves in the midfield? So that's agreeing with you, right? Alex Troika, who writes for Barca Welt, so it's a German website that follows Barcelona. Two more and he's gone. Suleiman, if he gets third place in the Champions League group, I can see going to the San Siro match day 6 and losing, getting eliminated. He's a clueless coach. Rich, I'm one of his biggest supporters, but I think the time is now. Squad needs an overhaul too. Gav, La Liga Gav, is a loyalist, although he was very critical of the performance on the night. 5 games in, Johnny shouts at me electronically. Bernie says, no, it's a matter of, not a matter of 5 games in. Go easy, right? He says, the clock has been ticking since Liverpool and the shameful Copa final. These five games confirm what we already know. James says, I think if he loses at Villarreal, he's done. Koeman will get the call. Lapansky, I think there might not be many high-profile managers out there. Xavi's not ready. That's the reason he's not been sacked. Omar says, if he went tomorrow, is there a better manager available right now? Hamsi, with the current climate, can't see him lasting to the end of the season with all the toxicity. And Le Chiffre says, only if the media and fans put pressure on the president. Several heavyweights back him due to the holiday camp culture he has created. But Catalan media is completely controlled by the club through interview privileges, club access, and the socios voting fans are bought off. Lee, I don't think many fans want him, but I don't think he's lost the players. Pete makes a good point. Peter says, need a suitable replacement, etc., etc. Kelvin and Gary both say, Bartomeu should make a change at the end of the season. Reese is harsh. 4 months ago, he says. So thank you to everybody who got in touch. So basically, it was a very negative. Good points were made of who would you replace him with, which is a big one. And then the other question, Terry, which is looking from afar, getting your Barcelona chat online might be misleading. The viewing from Catalan doesn't seem to be at crisis point in the way that you would think looking at social media.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out there this week. So, but who is there to replace him? I don't think someone else made a really good point that why would you want to wait till the end of the year if it's not going well and waste another year of Messi when he's now 32? And I think that's a really good point. You know, time doesn't stand still for anybody, and Messi's not going to be around forever. And if you had you could have a valid point if you said they probably haven't won enough Champions Leagues with him in the team. So I don't think he's safe by any means, Valverde. Who would I replace him with? Xavi. Now, I know people are going to say he's not ready. Then do you get someone else mentioned Ronald Koeman? He's been hit and miss at various clubs that he's managed. You either know football or you don't. And I think the reason I'm heavily in favour of Xavi is I don't see a Barcelona style anymore with this team, and haven't done for a while now. And it's slowly dissipated during Valverde's time. There was under Luis Enrique, the style was still there. It doesn't have to be 4-3-3. I have advocated in the past about changing the formation to accommodate Messi when they had Neymar was there and Suarez and Paco Alcacer, and we've had players, Dembele's been in it. You know, it's been hard to get the 4-3-3 because you can't pin Messi down to a position, and I think that weakens Barcelona to a degree. But I think that the coach's job is to come up with a solution tactically, but at the same time still have that the Barcelona style that was, you know, we were spoilt with watching Pep Guardiola and his team. But I don't see any resemblance at all. When I watch a Barcelona team now, particularly this season when Messi hasn't been there, which might be slightly unfair on Valverde, but I don't see the Barcelona style. I just don't see it anymore. And I think if he plays Busquets, De Jong and Arta or Rakitic, I think you've got a chance. Then he has to come up with a solution how you manage to work a team around Messi, Griezmann, Suarez. They have to play. The squad doesn't need a massive overhaul. I think Umtiti's a loss, and he's disappeared again. He's picked up another injury, so that doesn't help. Jordi Alba, I think regular viewers of La Liga will genuinely believe that I think €16 million they paid for Junior Firpo. His performances in the under-21 championships, his performances for Betis suggest to me that I believe he could be a success at Barcelona, or should be. I loved your point about his boots. The first three times he tried to run, he fell over. It was the first two were on the goal. It was like he had the wrong footwear on. It was he chose the wrong studs, molded, whatever he picked was the wrong choice, and he couldn't stop slipping. But a left-footed fullback is a must for Barcelona. As soon as Semedo went there, he got involved more because Fatty did. but he was looking to come inside on his right foot. It's not the same. So Alba is clearly a miss, but I think it was really tough on Junior Firpo for Valverde to make that sacrifice. It was a waste of a substitution as well at that stage of the game. I couldn't believe when he brought Arturo Vidal on instead of Artur or Busquets. Arturo Vidal would have been the third one. If you were winning 1-0 and not playing well and hanging on, I can understand why you'd bring Arturo Vidal, but they were 1-0 down. And he brings on Vidal, and he was unlucky with a penalty. You can't pin the blame on him for that. But my main issue with Barcelona at the moment is they don't look like a Barcelona team.
You know, damningly, to back up your point, as you know, my son is a football nut, Terry, and we had the Champions League on the other night, and I put it on, because you know you get to switch around, watch all the different ones. I put it on Barcelona, and yep. He said to me after a little while, he said, "Do we have to watch Barcelona? They're boring." And I was thinking, oh, dear me. And it shouldn't be, should it? It's not, as you say, spoilt perhaps, but that's not what we've come to. It's not why people love Barcelona, is it? It is if it's your club and that's where you're from. Fair enough, then you have to endure it. But people around the world want Barcelona fans because they want to be entertained by this magical football team. So two questions to narrow it down. So you've given me the who, which is Xavi. So when, how long are you giving Valverde?
International breaks play a part, I think, and then the next transfer window plays a part as well. That's the norm for clubs if they're looking to make a change. If they do it during the beginning of the international break, gives them a couple of weeks. The transfer window, I don't know how things have run at Barcelona, whether that is the choice of players coming in and out is down to the manager. I would imagine if Xavi came back to the club, he would want that say. So I think things have to massively improve before Christmas. Now, if they continue in the vein that they're doing, where they have the worst defensive record in the league, which is unheard of, eighth position, they're fortunate there's plenty of time left. We've only played 5 games. They are 4 points behind the leaders. Importantly, 4 points behind Real Madrid, 3 points behind Atletico. So it's not the end of the world. But there's... If you just look at it, take it for face value, the points we've made about it, not looking like a Barcelona team. Ed saying that they're boring. I agreed with him midweek against Dortmund, so they were boring. It depends on the next 2 or 3 results, I think.
Right, okay. So you agree with Alex's point then that he was only a couple of bad nights away from
yes.
the end.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Definitely. There has to be a massive improvement. First of all, they have to start winning games, scoring goals, keeping the goals against figure down. And they can't afford these poor results and poor performances and uninspiring performances. Griezmann had 3 touches in the penalty area. Suarez had 1 touch in the penalty area against Granada.
Yeah, so, and as you say, their worst start since 94-95.
Exactly. So it's pretty drastic. On top of what happened at the end of last season with the Liverpool game
and the next three games,
cup final against Valencia.
Yeah, and the next 3 games then: Villarreal at home midweek round coming up in La Liga. Remember, Getafe away, Inter at home. Right, let's do before we break. I know we've spent a lot of time on Barca, but I think circumstances demand it. Shall we go to the top of the league, Terry? Athletic against Alaves. So by contrast. Best defence in La Liga, 17 games unbeaten at home, dating back last year. Best start since the mid-90s, all of that for Athletic, and a 2-0 win against a team that just can't score a goal, Alaves. And it's just looking, they're looking super solid Athletic, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, they look, where we said Barcelona don't look like Barcelona, Athletic look just exactly as they should do. Full of running, full of speed, full of aggression. I was going to say direct football, but it is to a degree. And I'm not talking about just smacking the ball forward. I'm talking about every pass is looking to be played forward to a teammate in an attacking, more attacking position. confident. They look invincible in their own stadium. Started the season with a fantastic win in dramatic circumstances against Barcelona. And it's, we're talking about the second half of last season as well, when Garitano stepped in. Their form then probably should have got them into Europa League spot. But it didn't, and you know, this season they've continued the form they showed last year and you know, under Garitano, and yep, deserve to be at the top of the league, and the, you know, the Athletic Bilbao have been sensational going forward. They're not prolific, but certainly only the one goal conceded so far this season. You know, says a lot about the they look at a really good. I use the word really importantly. They look a really good team at the moment. Lots of good players, but they look like a team.
With Toquero, Terry, I mentioned at the beginning, I don't know if you saw the pre-match stuff at San Mamés. They gave him, it's called a maquila, apparently, which is, it's a carved wooden staff, which, and apparently they take years to make them. So it's a tremendous honour, but it is basically a weapon that they've given him before the game. And obviously it was fitting for him because he was revered at Alavés when he went there. In the latter part of his career. But of course, for people who don't know, tell us a bit about Toquero. He was a player, he played like, if you put a fan on the pitch who lived and breathed that club, and you told him you have to run and chase everything and just be the biggest nuisance for the opposition you possibly can, without the technical skills that we expect of La Liga, which is why people love him.
Yeah, and a fan that was super fit. I genuinely don't think I've ever seen a footballer work harder than him, because I think he absolutely appreciated the fact that he was getting the opportunity to play for Athletic Bilbao. There weren't many other clubs that were, you know, you would say he considered that he would have got into their squad. Predominantly, he was used mostly as a substitute, and every single time he came on the pitch, the supporters knew exactly what he was going to give, and he covered every blade of grass, even if he was only on for 10 minutes. So it was like having two players. It was like having 12 players in your team in terms of physical endurance and a player chasing everything and closing down. Listen, he wasn't a superstar in terms of technical ability. He wasn't useless. He was competent. But what inspired everybody was his attitude in the fact that he grasped every single minute that he could for playing for Athletic Bilbao, and that's hence the reason why he's, you know, the supporters, he endeared himself to the supporters massively at every club he played for. So it's always good to see. And Athletic, they do know how to give an award. I mean, they come up with some great awards over the years, and, you know, to see him get that particular award in recognition of what he did for that club against one of his other clubs that he played for, that those supporters will also love him. It just goes to show there's room for players, still room for players like him in the game today.
Yes, well said. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll have a look at the team that were top of the league before the weekend. Welcome back. There was a point, Terry, on Saturday tea time that I was thinking of contacting Premier Sports and offering them some kind of paper goal arrangement for La Liga after we had a series of goalless draws. Because Osasuna, Betis was 0-0, Levante, Eibar was 0-0, and then Atletico, Celta Vigo was 0-0. And I was thinking, hang on, I've just taken out this new subscription on top of all my other subscriptions, and no one ever scores a goal anymore. But there we are.
I thought you had to pay another subscription to get a goal.
Yes, and well, Karim Benzema has paid his subscription, hasn't he? And as I say, Lopetegui finally got a good game out of Real Madrid. But unfortunately, he's the Sevilla coach. Sevilla are playing so well on Thursday night in the against Carabag, of course, the mighty Carabag. Whereas Real Madrid were rank against Paris Saint-Germain. But it turned around. Graham Hunter mentioned in commentary, which is a good point, that Lopetegui had taken all of his players, even the ones who weren't involved in the game, they all went out to Baku and back, which, if that, you know, that doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? And they certainly towards the end, Sevilla couldn't put a pass in the right place. They really got ragged.
Yeah, and their issue, I think, so far this season has been a lack of, not a lack of goals, but an out-and-out goal scorer, and they've signed one in Javier Hernandez, and he's on the bench for the majority of the game tonight. So that's the one area of their team that does need improving. Javier Hernandez might do that. Munir scored a goal in midweek. That was strange to imagine why you would... I understand taking a strong team, but you could have left four or five players at home that you know, Sevilla got strong enough squad. The 3-0 win in Carabag was, you know, probably always going to be a likely scoreline for Sevilla, have been playing well. But in the game on Sunday evening, they you know, came up against a Real Madrid team. It was like Jekyll and Hyde. They were so poor. I gave up on them against PSG. I ended up turning over and watching the Atletico Madrid-Juventus game, which was on a different level completely. And PSG with no Cavani, no Neymar, no Mbappe, turns Real Madrid over so easily. It was worrying. But then, you know, a few days later, they're going away to the Sanchez-Pizjuan. They're not in good form, Real Madrid. And then they looked a good team. Looked solid at the back. Courtois wasn't called into action on too many occasions. James Rodriguez was outstanding in midfield. And Benzema comes up with a goal against one of the teams that we expect to finish high up in the league. So in general terms, I mean, it's... I looked at the table afterwards, and for all the flack that Zidane has copped, and I think rightly so, the toughest game of the season so far in the La Liga, they've come away with 3 points, a clean sheet. It's kind of puts at the back of everyone's mind the PSG result, until the next bad performance from Real Madrid. But, you know, against Sevilla, they looked a team that was, on that form, capable of winning the title. And they should be. I mean, you're looking at Ramos and Varane at the back, Carvajal, it was Mendy instead of Marcelo. You're looking at Casemiro, Kroos and James Rodriguez. And the front three is ridiculous. If they can gel, and there are signs that they will, then Benzema, Bale and Hazard can be as good as it gets. So it's just remarkable how they can play so poorly against PSG. I mean, it's 3-0. It could have been another couple of goals, but it was just how far apart they were from, you know, between each other, those two teams, with PSG having important players missing, and they're completely dominating a Real Madrid team in a way that we... I haven't seen Real Madrid be dominated like that for years, apart from when they've been beaten heavily by Barcelona, beating the Champions League. No one's done that to them, what PSG did. So for them to turn around their fortunes, put in the performance they did against Sevilla, joint top with Athletic Bilbao and on 11 points, it's the focus has now switched on to Ernesto Valverde and maybe even Diego Simeone, who 2 weeks ago, everyone was saying that, you know, they were a perfect start to the season. A couple of games later, a defeat at Real Sociedad, a draw at home against Celta Vigo, and it's completely turned around. So perhaps things are going in the right direction for Real Madrid now.
Well, let's talk about Atletico then, shall we? It was... So Celta Vigo's goalkeeper, Ruben Blanco, made some good saves, but it was... It doesn't really tell the story of Atletico after they battled back and showed all of their character against Juventus. What they aren't always able to do is sort of when they try to be fluent in the games that they need to be fluent in is where sometimes Simeone's sides fall over themselves.
It is, and I don't think there's anything to be worried about when we're looking at a team that's, you know, as I said, their last couple of games lost to Real Sociedad. They came back really well against Juventus. They started the game off like a house on fire against Celta. The best save Blanco made was in the first couple of minutes of the game. Header from a corner, but it was powerful, and he did well to turn over the crossbar. And from then on, I saw some issues regarding Atletico in terms of, yes, they've conceded more goals than they would like to. I mean, it's only four in the league, and a couple in the Champions League, but Simeone would like better, but I think that's to come. I think the fullbacks are giving them more adventure. Trippier and Renan Lodi pushing on down the fullback positions. My issue becomes, I mean, Rata's been injured. Costa has had moments where he's looked like he's on the verge of getting back to his best. My worry and issue would be, and it's not major at the moment because it's young, the season is still young, is the lack of a partnership of Costa and João Félix. They're making the same runs. They're both coming short. You know, they're both going running in behind. They're both attacking the near posts. The runs they're making are very similar. And I just feel that in the couple of games that Morata had at the start of the season with João Félix, that looked instantly a partnership that might click. So it'd be interesting to see what Simeone thinks, what he does in the next few weeks. Now that Morata is back, come off the bench at the weekend, and he chose to take João Félix off and put Morata with Costa, which was understandable. They'll get lots of crosses into the box. The two big centre forwards should have caused them more problems. And in fact, Morata failed to get his head on a cross where he should have done so from close range, and that could have been enough to have won the game for Atletico. So, I think that's the really important part that Simeone has to try and get some sort of connection between the three strikers. I mean, it was Correa ended up playing up there a lot of time with Costa as well. So I think there's one or two issues, which is natural when you have so many new players as Atletico have chosen to have this year. So, yep, a clean sheet. Celta look stronger defensively, which was their massive failure last season. So Escribar has certainly tightened them up, brought one or two new players in. We expected, I have to be honest, better from Celta in terms of going forward when you've got Denis Suarez, Santi Mina, Aspas, and who am I missing? Rafinha. They've only scored three in the five so far. So where they were better last season going forward and weak at the back, it's swapped around at the moment. But I think a 0-0 draw away from home for Celta Vigo against Atletico is a really, really good result for Escobar and his team.
Espanyol are struggling, aren't they? Beaten at home by Real Sociedad. But Real Sociedad produced the kind of performance that we're sort of hoping from them. When you look at their players, you think, well, they could be really effective as a quick counter-attacking team. And so they proved to be. William Jose with a couple of sort of one-touch finishes. And Alexander Isak with his first goal in La Liga. Good win for Real Sociedad. And you know, they're up there competing, aren't they?
They are. It's a good time for the two big best teams, Real Sociedad and Athletic Bilbao. And Odegaard, his pass for the second goal, I think, for William Jose was fabulous. They're solid at the back. They're really good to watch. They're quite happy being solid, but the counter-attacking play, Oyarzabal in particular, was influential in the first couple of goals as well. Isak was the beneficiary of a poor defensive mistake from an Espanyol player, and then he showed his acceleration and skill to finish. I'm pleased because I thought the signs were there that we could be in for a treat watching Real Sociedad this season with the players that they've signed, the style that they've adopted. So it's pleasing to see them getting off to a good start, because a team like that with younger players as well does need confidence. So, no, that's some really good signs there for Real Sociedad, as opposed to the bad signs we're seeing from Espanyol, who are really suffering at the moment. Lost all three home games. Bright news was David Lopez returned after 6 months injured. Important in terms of being the captain of the team, experienced player. Exactly the type of player a manager like David Gallego, who's pretty inexperienced himself, maybe will look to rely on in the next few weeks, because it is difficult for a team that's struggling at the moment, and yet somehow last season found themselves able to qualify for the Europa League. So new manager, young manager, important players missing for Espanyol, losing confidence. They're on a tough run at the moment.
And let's just give a nod to Villarreal. You know, and we've both been critical of Calleja and how they play. But they do have very good players at that club, and they deserve their win against Valladolid. Santi Cazorla with a penalty, and Javi Ontiveros making good contribution. He came off the bench, didn't he, and was involved in the penalty and then scored a goal.
But that's why we're critical of Javier Kiev, because exactly as you said, they have really good players. He's a really good player. He's coming off the bench. Cazorla with a penalty on Tavares, getting the late goal. They've scored 12 goals. It shouldn't be a surprise that Villarreal beat Valladolid 2-0 at home. And I think we're seeing, similar to Real Sociedad, the signs that a team with good players are playing the correct style. The manager isn't holding them back. He's not chopping and changing the system. And the league will be far better if, you know, Villarreal have a good season. Athletic Bilbao started off the season well. They were the two teams, them and Valencia, at the start of last season, the first half of last season, that kind of gave the league a weird look to it. So the league is far better if Valencia are thriving, Villarreal, Real Sociedad, Athletic Bilbao. It should make for a really competitive league this season. And I'm, you know, Villarreal should always be challenging for, at the very least, the Europa League spot. I hope there's going to be better to come from Betis after their Friday night 0-0. That was not, you know, a game that's going to live long in the memory. It does take Osasuna's unbeaten run to 28 games unbeaten at home. So those teams I mentioned, the Betis, Villarreal, Real Sociedad, Athletic Bilbao, if they're all good, which they all look to be this season, then the league is so much better.
Yes, and so say all of us. Right, Terry, so you're off to Barcelona, aren't you, for the midweek round of games?
Yes, sir. Yeah, fortunately, off away on early Monday morning, commentating on a couple of games over the next, on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. I think I'm on the Real Madrid game on Wednesday, I think. And I think I'm on a Valladolid match. I haven't yet got my head around the next round of fixtures. I've just watched 10 La Liga games in 3 days and a commentary on a Arsenal-Aston Villa. Just going to watch some NFL now and then get me head around the next midweek round of fixtures for La Liga.
Remember, Real Madrid will be in the white shirts, Terry. Don't get confused when you get there.
Oh, don't start me on that one. Or handball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, let's not. We'll Real Madrid against PSG when the wrong team was where. Yeah, let's leave it there before we could become two old, angry old men getting angry about football shirts. Anyway, right. Enjoy with Barcelona, Terry. We'll speak again soon.
Thank you,
everybody,
John.
Thanks very much for listening. And we'll be broadcasting and podcasting again soon. Bye-bye.